Will you go with me to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for all you're doing. And Lord, we just pray for this nation. We pray for this world. We pray for the church. We pray for your chosen, the nation of Israel. Lord, today, while we mull over these things and think over these things, Lord, would you please open our hearts, open our minds, and open our ears to the word, to the preached word, to the written word, to your word, so that with all that's within me and all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up, that lives are challenged, minds are changed, souls are saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. It's Christmas. It's the day that we choose to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's Christmas. There's just one really huge problem with Christmas. Christmas is the day that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. But it's also a day that his chosen people ignore because they say he hasn't come yet. That's problematic, church. That's problematic. Because either he has come and he has kept his promise and has done what he said he was going to do, or like the Jews, we're still lost in our sins and destined for separation from God. But I'm in the camp that says God has kept his word. God has kept his promise. And he gave the promise to the Jewish community first, but they have rejected it. But the good news is that God called you and I to give them the good news. Do you realize that in Romans 11, the Bible says that God, for anybody who's a Gentile, and that means anybody who's not Jewish, anybody who's not of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, anybody who's not of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're a Gentile. And the Bible says that God said in his love, in his grace, in his mercy, Those are my chosen people, the Jews. Always will be, always have been. That's not going to change. Nobody's going to take the blessings that the Jews. I know you hear in different churches that we claim the blessings of the Jews. But isn't it convenient that the folks who claim the blessings of the Jews deny the curses that come upon the Jews as well? They are God's chosen, but we are chosen by God to tell them the good news, the glad tidings. Tell them that God has kept his word. What a privilege, what a joy. Here's what we're going to do today. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. This is a very familiar verse, especially around Christmas time. But it always warrants attention. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And in the King James Bible it reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Today, as a title, we'll be using, And You Shall Know Him by His Name. And you shall know him by his name. When you go to this passage, like I said, we talk about this on Christmas Day, and we say this has already been done. But don't forget, this was written a few thousand years ago in the book of Isaiah. But isn't it wonderful that when God speaks prophetically, and the Bible tells us that we have a more sure word. He goes, if you want to know that God is really who he says he is, he goes, look at prophecy. Look at prophecy. Who can tell you the end from the beginning but God? Most of the people who try to tell you the end from the beginning, they're in jail for fraud right now. They got a little telephone hotline, and they tell you, come on, give me a call, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. And then the Bible, and then they say, well, let me talk to your dear old grandpa, and let me talk to your dear old grandma. And we get sucked into stuff like that, and they take your money, they take your stuff, it sounds so wonderful. But God said in his word, he said, why are you consulting the dead for the living? Go to the living God. If you know what's going to happen, if you want to know what's going to be going on at the end, go to the word of the living God. When he writes this passage, he speaks in what we call prophetic perfect. Prophetic perfect. That means he writes it as though it's already taken place. Because in God's world, God's not constrained by or bound by time. God is the creator of time. God is not subject to time. So when he writes something, when he's writing prophecy, he writes it as though it's already taken place. And now it's up to us to look and to search the scriptures and see where he has come through to see if this is really the one that we want to follow. It's natural for unbelievers and believers to have questions about the Bible. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because we're people and we need some kind of evidence. We need something that says this is really the truth. Because face it, everybody has a God. Everybody has a God. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has gone through great pains to make sure that we all understand there's only one true and living God. And he says, there's none other beside me. Never has been, never will be. And so we have to be settled in that, because if we're not settled in that, how are we going to? God said, I saved you to provoke the Jew to jealousy. That's what I saved you for, the Gentiles. And if we're not secure in that understanding, if we're not secure in our understanding that we have the truth, not a truth, but the truth, how are you going to convince somebody else that this is the truth? How are you going to witness to somebody else that this is the truth? Search the scriptures. Start with the Bible. When you want to know if something is right, start with the Bible. If you want to know if something is wrong, start with the Bible. And sometimes you're going to see some things that are really unsettling. Lots of times we're going to see things that give us great joy. When Jesus says, I'll give you eternal life. He says, if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Man, we love that part. We love that part. But when it comes to the holy living part, are you sure that's just not church tradition? Are you sure that's not something that the preacher just kind of made up, you know? About living right and being chaste and pure and holy. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. Come on, church. This is 2016. Surely God is
lightened up a little bit. Surely. I mean, you know, if you're thoroughly committed to a girl, if you're thoroughly committed to a man, I mean, and y'all have a sincere monogamous relationship. I mean, y'all, you know, it's just you and her and just you and him. And you know, but you know, we're going to go get us a house and we got to have us a car and we got to get our career set. And then we're ready for that next step, marriage. What's wrong with that picture, church? Except that God has said, that's not how you do it. So, let us learn to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about every situation. When we start in this passage, when we unpack this passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it starts off by saying, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Old Testament, this is speaking to the Jews. God has told the Jews, right here in the book of Isaiah, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to send you to them because they have the prophecy. The Gentiles had no prophecy about the son and no prophecy about a virgin birth. They didn't know anything about that. We got all that after the fulfillment. But before the fulfillment, God said to the Jews, if you want to know that this man that I'm sending, this person that I'm sending, he goes, go to the scriptures. He starts off with saying, for unto us a child. That's the gift that God's given on that very first, what we call the very first Christmas day. And he says, and unto us, speaking to the Jews, a son is given. He always was the son. He always was the S-O-N of the triune Godhead. He's not being manufactured. He's always been there. God says, I'm giving you my son, and you're going to be receiving, he's going to come as a child. Now, see, that's already messing up the Jews because they believed that God was going to send a deliverer. They believed that, but they felt he was going to come as a mighty soldier, as a mighty warrior, somebody who was going to come. And when the Roman army, since the Roman army was occupying them, somebody who was going to come and take names and get rid of all their enemies. But God had told them, if they would just pay attention, God has said, I'm sending you a child, what appears to be a helpless baby child, a boy child. So let's back up just a minute here. We're in Isaiah chapter 9. Let's read verse 2 in Isaiah chapter 9. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Guess what? Guess what? Guess who's in that prophecy? That's us. In this same text, God is saying, those Gentiles, and if y'all haven't seen racism till you've seen racism between Jew and Gentile, they refer to us as dogs, Christians as dogs, and we had all kinds of fine names for them. Couldn't stand each other. But the Bible says that we're all one blood, y'all. We just choose to pick and choose who we want to call this and call that. That's unbiblical. That's just plain old unbiblical. When people in Africa are killing each other and it's all black folks, that's not racism. Unless you choose to say that's racism. When people are in Ireland, a number of white folks in Ireland, and they're killing each other during the wars with the IRA and the Catholic Church, wasn't racism. It was sin. I dare say, when Cain killed Abel, was that racism? No. It's just what he felt like doing at the time. Amen? So why is it when it comes down to us in our life, everything comes down to the color of my skin? No, it's called sin, y'all. Cain killed his brother because of sin. Folks in America mistreat each other because of sin. Folks in Africa mistreat each other because of sin. Folks in Ireland mistreat each other because of sin. If you start with your Bible, you'll know that, and nobody can come, none of the evil one cannot bring in another thought that will derail you. And right here, he talks about the bright light. He talks about this bright light that he was going to bring into the world, and he even tells you in verse 2, the Gentiles are going to see it first, and the Gentiles are going to acknowledge it. But he goes on in verse 6 to say to his people, he's a child and he's a son. So here's what's being spoken to us. Since that word was given to us first, since he said the Gentiles are going to see this light, that falls right into line with Romans 11, where he says, now it's your responsibility and it's my responsibility to get the word to his people, the chosen, the Jews. But we get distracted on other stuff. And that's just, and the other stuff that we get distracted on, when you try to make sense of it, it makes no sense because it's confusion. Because who is the author of confusion, church? Y'all tell me. The author of confusion. So stop listening to the psychobabble, to the psychiatrist who tells you that it's thus and thus and thus and thus because of this and this and this and that. No, it's sin. It's just what I feel. You know why I hit my brother upside the head? Because I just felt like it. It's what I wanted to do. It wasn't because mama didn't tuck me in bed. It's not because mama didn't tell me she loved me. She loved me. But sometimes you just feel like doing what you want to do. And then I have to come up with some kind of reason for it. No, you did it because you want to do it. It's not deep. Stop trying to look for some deep psychological reason for sin. First sin made no sense. When Adam ate of the fruit, he was in a perfect world. God said, there's only one thing that you cannot do, just one. And he did it. Now I want you to see a psychiatrist on a couch? Give him that one. Riddle that one out for me, Batman. Tell me what about his mom and his daddy? Why did he do that? Can you riddle that one for me? You cannot explain that sin, and you cannot explain logically any other sin. All we can do is accept that what God says. God says the light is coming to the world, and man loved darkness because their deeds are evil. That's why we do what we do. So now it's incumbent upon those of us to whom the light has shone. We're here celebrating Christmas because we've seen the light. We believe that God has kept his promise. He kept his promise to the Jews, and he's using us today to be a witness to them. That's our job. That's our privilege. And don't forget, God said, he said to each one of us here, if you take the time, set some time out to witness to my folks, he said, I'll bless those who bless thee, and I will curse those who curse thee. You know why all the saints in the church, the ones who know the Bible, why all the saints continuously try to encourage our public officials, our president, our senate, our congress, and anybody else? Do you know why we constantly try to encourage them to take care of Israel? Don't you know Israel is basically a secular nation? They really don't care that much about the God of Abraham and Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They really don't care that much about him. But here's the good news. They're not the chosen because they're that good. They're chosen because God chose them. And that gives me the encouragement, and that gives me the promise that I understand I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm set apart, not because I'm good, but because God is good and God keeps his promise. So when you talk to folks about salvation, don't be trying to puff yourself up, make yourself like y'all. Understand, salvation is of the Lord. And when Christians make mistakes, God corrects us. He doesn't kick us out. He corrects us. Otherwise, he'd kick out Israel altogether because they don't care nothing about him, most of them. They really don't. But you and I, according to verse 2, we've seen the light. We've seen the light. So God says in verse 2, you've seen the promise is fulfilled. The promise is fulfilled in a child. The promise is fulfilled in a son. His mission tells you in verse 6, his mission tells you that the government is going to be on his shoulders. God says, all the heavy lifting, all the burden bearing, if you let him. See, we have a tendency to want to hang on to burdens and try to tote stuff around ourselves. When all, what does the song say? Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we will not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, church, if we could ever learn that. Oh, man, we would mess this nation up. We would start right here in this little church with this handful of folks, starting with folks who believe the word of God, and we will mess this nation up because folks will be scratching their heads asking, why aren't you getting upset about this? Why aren't you getting upset about that? Why are you so focused on righteousness? Why are you so focused on holiness? Because God said, be ye holy because I'm holy. And he says, and if I'll focus on that, he says, I'll take care of everything else. He said, I take care of everything else. So that's why you and I understand his mission is everything else. He says the government will be upon his shoulders. But now to the crux of our message, how do I know out of all these contenders, out of all these pretenders, how do I know which one is the real son that is given? Which one is the true child that's given? Maybe we'll start a game show and we'll say, will the real Jesus please stand up? Is that how we do it? No, that's not how we do it. Here's how we do it. We go to the scriptures. And the Bible says in verse 6, he says, and his name shall be called. And that's why we're going to say, and you shall know him by his name. He said, because his name shall be called. And he gives you a beautiful list here of five appellations, five titles, if you will, of this child, of this son. When you talk about an appellation, he says, an appellation is the action of giving a name to a person or thing. Let me give you an example. Couple examples. There was back in days gone by, there was a man who played football for the Chicago Bears. And those of us who watch football at all, even the young folks who watch football, if somebody says, who is Sweetness? And they say, oh, that's Walter Payton. That's Walter Payton. People say, and then there's another man who most people don't even know his name, but you know his appellation. His appellation is the Fridge. Oh, I don't know his name, but his name's William Perry. But everybody knows him as the Fridge. And then there was a young man. He had a very brief but colorful football career. And very few people know his name, but anybody who played defense against him, they knew he was referred to as the Nigerian Nightmare. His name was Christian Okoye, and he was a bad motor scooter. He had a brief career, but he ran over the best of the best of the best. But they knew him as the Nigerian Nightmare. They didn't know his name, and they knew they didn't want to get in his way. That's what they knew. So God is saying in this verse, he's saying, let me tell you, I can't put just one name on this child. I can't put just one name on this son. I've got to give you so that you know where he's coming from, so you know who he is, so you'll understand when you see him, you'll recognize that's the son, that's the one I'm looking for. You'll understand that. He starts off by saying, he says, and you shall call his name shall be called Wonderful. Turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 13, verse 18. Judges chapter 13, verse 18. And we're going to work our way through this quickly because it's Christmas, y'all. And I know y'all want to hurry up and get to your stuff. So turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 13, verse 18. And in this text, in this portion of scripture, the angel of the Lord had appeared to Manoah. And he had told Manoah that they were going to have a child. And this is dealing with the birth of Samson. And this good news, this glad tidings about the birth of Samson. And in verse 18, and the angel of the Lord, in verse 17, I'll start with 17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? The translation for that is, my name is wonderful. My name is marvelous. My name is miracle worker. I dare say that if the angel of the Lord had started answering this question to Manoah, he'd still be talking today, explaining who he is. Because he is beyond expression. He's beyond any superlative you could put to his name. So we just say he's wonderful. His name is secret. He's marvelous. He does wonderful things. And look what happened when that child came. When that child came, the Bible says that he did what? He healed the sick. That's wonderful. The Bible says that he gave sight. This child gave sight to the blind. That's wonderful. The Bible says that this child, this special child, this son touched, called out the names and raised people from the dead. That's wonderful, y'all. So how, because I'm looking for this child and my Jewish friends are looking for this child, but I know he's already come. So now, but I'm convinced because I see where he says he's going to be wonderful. He's going to do wonderful things. He's going to do great wonders. They got to see him do the plagues in Egypt. We get to see him in the New Testament raise the dead. Oh, my goodness. I asked a Jewish lady that, and she was a Jewish missionary. And we were talking on the telephone. She had called our phone, and we were talking. And she was upset that I would be trying to tell people, I would be trying to turn Jews from their traditions. By the way, y'all, God is not interested in any of our traditions, not any of our traditions, no matter how long, no matter how honorable, no matter how earnestly we say, he's not interested. What he's interested in is, have you recognized that light? Have you accepted his son, Jesus Christ? And I was talking to the lady and she was telling me, you know, well, all these things about Judaism, and she was actually an evangelist for Judaism. So my challenge to her was, because she said this son has not been given yet. So my challenge to her was this. When he comes, what's he going to do that Jesus didn't do? Mary's baby. What's he going to do that Mary's baby didn't do? Give sight to the blind? Hey, got that one. Heal the sick? Got that one too. Feed the hungry? Got that one too. Raise the dead? Got that one too. And one better. Got his own self up out the grave. How you like that? How you like that? And there was silence on the phone. Because she knows that's what the scripture says Messiah is supposed to do. You know that. I know that. Tell somebody that. We have seen the light. And now it's our responsibility to give the light. Counselor, and he shall be called Counselor. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 16:7. Counselor. Psalm 16:7. And it reads, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night sessions. Y'all hear that? He says, in the night sessions. I like this because I love when God wakes me up at night. Can I get any kind of witness out there? Is there anybody who God then woke you up in the middle of the night, messed up your sleep, and said, I want to talk with you? Oh, it's so good. It's so good. He said in the night sessions, when you know ain't nobody in that house but you, nobody around there but you, and you hear that voice. And you don't even be thinking, oh, there's somebody breaking in the house. You say, oh, I heard this one before. And he says, and I talk to you, and I give you counsel. And you know what else he does? He gives you directions, because he knows the end from the beginning. This child, this son, his name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. He goes, I walk with you. I talk with you. And I tell you, you're my own. That's a good God, y'all. And we know that. Those of us who have believed that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead. We know that. We know that. But how many of our friends, how many of our relatives don't know that? And we don't purpose in our heart to tell them these things. What about the Jewish community? I've seen Christians who have said, well, you know, the Jews, they got their own kind of, they got a special deal with God. Yeah, their special deal is if they don't believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for their sins, they will end up separated from God like everybody else for all of eternity. So God has said in his word, I saved you. Oh, what a privilege. But ooh, what a scary thought. You want me to go talk to people who don't like me? Who don't look like me? Yes, because that way, when you have enough courage to stand, when you have enough courage to speak, guess who gets the credit? Not you. God. God gets the credit. He's wonderful. He's counselor. He speaks to us in the night vision. He's mighty God. Genesis 17:1. And when Abram was 90 years old, 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He's wonderful. He does wondrous things. He's counselor, speaks to me in night vision. He's Almighty God. How much God you got to be to take a 99-year-old man who ain't even thinking about being with his wife no more. That's by his words. We ain't even thought about that in a while. You know, we sit around, we play bingo, we play Monopoly, but we ain't thought about that playing house no more. That one's out. And God said, but you don't understand. You talking to Almighty. You talking to God. Almighty. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you the same God that Abraham was talking to dwells in you and dwells in me. And he'd talk with you just like he talked with Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I know you got some doubts. Abraham, I know you've been praying and praying and praying and praying. You want a son. I mean, everybody wants a son. He said, I know you've been praying and praying and praying. You prayed till you got to the point where you stopped asking because it was physically impossible. It was beyond the realm of possibility. Not only are you 90 and 9, your wife is old. She's way past the time of childbearing. You talk about the biological clock running out. Man, it's over. It's over. But Almighty God said to Abram, that word appellation, where you get known by your name. When he's talking to Abram, he says, Abram is he's a mighty father. But God says, I'm going to turn you into Abraham, the father of a multitude. Can't nobody do that but God, y'all. And I submit to you, everybody here today, you got some prayers that you've been putting them out there. You've been putting them out so long that you got to the point that you say, I'm going to put that one in the lost and not found. But God, understand, y'all, Understand, you're talking to the one who, when he spoke a word, the heavens came into existence. You're talking about the one who, when he talked to Abram, he said, Abram, I'm going to change it from Abram to Abraham. And about this time next year, your wife, not your maidservant, your wife is going to bear you a son. We're talking about the one who, when Moses was standing at the Red Sea, and I mean, man, all hope was gone. Church, I don't know about you, but I know I've been in situations where you're sitting there, you say, first thing you say is, how did I get here? I knew I wasn't supposed to be here. I knew it. The Holy Spirit told me don't do it. And I know. But here I am. And if God don't show up right now, my mama going to have to come and identify my body. You've been there. Mostly out of rebellion, y'all. Mostly out of rebellion. But I want you to know, when you cry out, I want you to know who you talk. You'll know him by his name. El Shaddai is his name. God Almighty. And the fact that you're here today says to me he brought you through. And he expects you to give him some glory. He expects you to give him some honor. And he expects you to tell somebody else, especially his chosen, because they're still looking, y'all. They're still looking. And they don't know him like you know him. And God has promised to take care of all your stuff. He said, you just humble yourself and you call on me and I'll take care of all your stuff. But I want you to take care of some of my stuff. Get my children. Be like Moses. He said, Moses, my children are hurting. Moses, my children are lost. And I hear them crying and I'm sending you. That's what God is saying to the Gentile church. Are you listening? Are you listening? Go talk to them. And let understand that God said, I'll take care of everything else for you. I'll take care of everything else for you. Mighty God. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. And it reads, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know why I know he's everlasting, Father? Because if his mercy is still here and if his truth is still here, he's still here. Amen. 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 And guess what? That's problematic. That particular appellation is problematic for the Jews, because how can you be child? How can you be son? And how can you be everlasting Father, all at the same time without contradiction, because they skipped one. I'm Almighty God, and there is none like me, and I do what I want to do the way I want to do when I want to do. That's why we understand him to be the triune God without contradiction. Last, how am I going to know him? What is that last name that I'm going to see there? Prince of Peace. The Jews don't know him as the Prince of Peace. Because unless you have believed that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for your sins, unless you accept that as a truth, you don't have and you cannot have peace with God. Won't happen. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. And it reads, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's not talking about peace between men. That's talking about peace between God and men. That's talking about the Prince of Peace that he sent as a child, that he sent as a son, that he says that we, we have seen that great light. He said, we understand this to be true. We now, the reason that Christians can walk around with a calmness in the face of danger is because we know our eternal destination. The biggest question of life is death. The biggest question of life is death. What's going to happen to me when I close my eyes for the last time? And unless you have resolved that question, you cannot have peace with God. And God said there's one way, and there's only one way. It's not your tradition. It's not your religious activities. He said there's only one way for you to get that peace, and you have to believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for your sins and mine. He says, and when you do that, when you acknowledge that, he says, you shall be. This is the definitive answer to death. You shall be saved. That's good news, church. That's great tidings, church. That's what Christmas Day is about. Good news and glad tidings to all men. Let them know that God has kept his promise. The promise that he made in Isaiah 9:6, he has kept his promise. And he has shown it to the Gentiles. And he has said, now act upon it. Live like you belong to me. What did Mama used to say to you? When you go out, remember who you are. Remember what family you belong to. Remember what your last name is. Guess what? Your name may be Smith, Gates, Parker, Butts, but I got a higher appellation for you. You are now a child of the King. Amen. You're a child of the King. Now, you've just been elevated up. Act like it. Amen. We got to represent because we are new creatures in Christ. So you'll know him by his name. You'll know him by his name because in Acts 2:21, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name, the authority, the wherewithal, the who he is, the magnificence of the Lord, the splendor, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Last thing. It's one of the most beautiful accounts in the scriptures. You know, according to scripture, there's only a couple people, according to scripture, there's only a couple people that we know for certain are in heaven. Everybody else is accepted by faith that they are in heaven. But I want you to know, and I'm so glad God did this, in Luke chapter 23, verse 42, you see an account. Now, why God, like I said, there's only a couple people that we know. Only a couple people that we know actually are in heaven, according to scripture. So why would God take a no good, low down, lying, thieving, murderer, obviously not fit for living because they're killing him, and not ready for dying because he don't know Jesus? Why would God use this man? Why would he use this man to show how good he is? See, because I talk to people all the time. People always saying, well, you know, I try to do good. What makes you think you're going to heaven? Well, I'm a nice person. I haven't hit anybody. I don't talk bad about people, and I try to do random acts of kindness. Yes, I do. I feed the hungry. So why would God see fit to make sure that we understand that this no good, nasty, lying, thieving person is one of the handful of folks that we know for certain is in heaven? Probably because he's talking to a bunch of lying, thieving, no good us. You know, a lot of us ain't, we don't lie as much as we used to. A lot of us don't thieve as much as we used to. We just assassinate people on Facebook. And every place else we get an opportunity. But we're smoother about it. We ain't out there like we used to be. We didn't got some cover. We understand the cover of darkness. So we think. But I want you to know, the Bible says that anytime you get ready to call upon that name, no matter how far, see, man won't forgive you. You mess up too bad, man ain't going to forgive you. Because they say you ain't no good. But I'm here to tell you today, you ain't saved because you're good, you're saved because God's good. And I'm going to use this text to show you. The Bible says there was two thieves. There's one on the left, there's one on the right. Jesus was in the middle. And at the start of the procedure, they're all up there hanging together. And at the start of the procedure, all of the thieves, everybody is bad-mouthing Jesus. They're talking bad. And it says one thief, he's just railing on Jesus. He's just railing on Jesus. And then the other thief, now he's there, y'all, because he's guilty. He's guilty as all get out. He's guilty. He even says by his own words, I am guilty. I'm a sinner of the highest sort. No, that's an oxymoron. Of the lowest sort. Amen. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And he looks at the other thief and he goes, will you leave this man alone? He said, because you and I deserve to be here. But that man in the middle, that man, he don't deserve to be here. That man doesn't deserve to be here. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us if he knew anything about Jesus before the crucifixion or how they got to know each other. But I submit to you this. He didn't call him wonderful. He didn't call him counselor. He didn't call him mighty God. He didn't call him everlasting Father. He didn't call him Prince of Peace. But he called on him for what he knew of him. And he said, Lord. He didn't say Yeshua. He didn't say Jesus. He said, Lord. Lord. Remember me. He didn't try to strike a deal with Jesus. He'd say, well, you know, if you get me down off this cross, I'm going to act right. I'm going to start living right. He said, Lord, I'm without hope. I'm leaving here. I'm without hope. He says, but Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And in the sweetest sound was the reply of our Savior. And I tell you this because this is for all of us, y'all. We've all got some stuff that we've been hidden and we try to bury it, but we got some stuff. But if you take it to the Lord, here's the reply for the thief. Here's the reply for everybody. He says, this day, when you close your eyes for the last time, this day, you will be with me in paradise. That's glad tidings, church. That's good news, church. That's the joy of the first Christmas day, church, because when God kept this promise, he gave to everybody here the hope that we could not have before the birth of Jesus Christ. He says, if you or anybody else out here, whosoever, if you will call upon the name of the Lord. You're going to know him by his name. And if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. God bless you.